And this is, it looks like we've got a, we had a technical difficulty. Rubble Era was trying to go into a nice song, but darn thing just wouldn't go. So, but fortunately enough, on the phone with us is Carl Bryant, your local producer of a labor-based TV show on cable access here in San Francisco. And you are up in Chicago at this very moment, right? You're... this is Sunday night, the 24th of July, and yeah, tell us what's going on up there in Chicago, Carl.
Okay, first of all, my name is Carl Bryant, and I'm with the National Association of Letter Carriers, Branch 214 in San Francisco, California. But tonight I'm in Chicago, Illinois, getting ready for the convention of the AFL-CIO. Today we had a couple of meetings. One of the meetings early this morning, around 9 o'clock, 9:30 this morning, we met with a few people. I think it was about 60, between 50 and 60 people, who are actually for the discussion that's about to take place at this convention in reference to the SEIU, United Here, UCFW, and the other union is. The Teamsters that are going to separate from the AFL-CIO. So there were a number of members of those unions at this meeting, including Steve Zeltzer from the Bay Area, Larry Duncan from Labor Beat in Chicago, which is a cable access labor program in Chicago, Mike Griffin from Caterpillar. He was at Caterpillar company, working for Caterpillar until there was a problem there. From Carbondale, Illinois. There's a number of people here who are really disenchanted with what's going on with labor and the AFL-CIO. It's a serious problem, and the 60 people got to speak about it, and they're posturing. In fact, later this afternoon, early this afternoon, after the meeting in the morning, that afternoon, we went out and we marched from Navy Pier, which is in Chicago, where the actual AFL-CIO convention is being held. We had a small rally with about 50, 60 people, and we marched from Navy Pier to the Sheridan Hotel, where a number of delegates to the AFL-CIO are staying. And from there, we marched with signs and rallied and cheered and talked about, asked for some of the delegates to come out and try to get some sort of discussion going with delegates or and members of the AFL-CIO. But to our avail, there was no discussions. There were a number of interviews, but I didn't take part in any of the interviews. I was just a member, just marching and voicing my opinion.
Hey, well, that's
so is there any questions, David?
No, that's good. It's a good start there, Carl. So you think it's a foregone conclusion that the four are going to break away?
I think it is. It's a foregone conclusion. In fact, we tried to find, looking to see if we could see maybe Andy Stern, because Andy Stern, who is the president of SEIU, who actually was one of the persons, one of the union presidents of the breakaway unions, who actually was, I think, the catalyst that got this started. The reason that I think this got started, and most of your listeners probably already know, is that the decline of organized labor in the United States has reached an all-time low. In fact, I heard, and I'm not sure whether this is true or not, that the organized labor, the numbers were down from in the 40s and 50s, there was approximately 30% of the United States population was organized labor, and today it's like 9%. So that's what I heard, like 9%. It might be a little more, maybe 10 or 11.
Well, this is significant.
It's in that ballpark, right? Am I right or wrong on that, Dave?
Are you talking to somebody on the side or asking me?
I'm asking you. Have you heard anything? That's what I've heard.
Well, I'll tell you. I did notice. And normally, as you know, labor news is not covered in the major press. And so this afternoon, NPR's news was, you know, probably 3 o'clock this afternoon, West Coast time. Mentioned they ran probably a 5-minute piece at least on what's going on up there in Chicago. They mentioned that these four unions are considering breaking away, and it's not just four unions. It's something like 30% of their total revenues for the AFL-CIO. So this is a significant chunk out of their side, and they don't want to lose these locals, these unions. But, the fat cats want to hold on to their territory. So they're in a hell of a pickle there. And NPR, of course, played it down, but they did allude to its specific urgency. And so it's good to get input from people who are actually there, like you, who can, give us some idea of the significance of this. Now, one of the things, of course, as you were talking about this, you were these four unions. Of course, the Teamsters are pretty big, and they were put into a kind of a receivership by the AFL-CIO. They used to be their own union, and what was it under Reagan or under the first Bush? They were put in this kind of receivership.
Right.
Yeah, and so their pension fund has been under the control of, but they were a strong and financially very solvent union. They had good incomes. But one of these, and I've forgotten the four in itemized, but one of them is more like the laborers or it's the service workers union, right?
Service employees, internet. SEIU.
Oh, okay, yeah. So SEIU covers everything from nurses and say, for example, bureaucrats at City Hall. So they're not exactly like the janitors, although janitors can be in there, and janitors are notoriously underpaid. So, of these four unions, some of them, I don't like to pick a fight with bureaucrats as a general rule because they can ruin your life. And so, it's certainly true that the AFL-CIO leadership don't want to, pick a fight with the SEIU in Washington or any local city or state government. In that case, it's not necessarily just a financial issue, but the idea of what are the significant financial assets? I mean, even though these are four locals or four unions, that they don't necessarily make up the greatest amount of membership, but they are high dollar ones, if I understand right.
Correct. Okay. There's a per capita amount, an amount that goes directly to the AFL-CIO from every organized union member in this country that sustains the AFL-CIO, and we're talking about SEIU has about 1.8 million members. The Teamsters have about approximately 1.5 million. The Unite Here, they have about, I don't know, maybe 500,000 members, and the UCFW, which is the grocery workers and clerks, they have about 500,000 members. And also, you got to remember that the carpenters, which is approximately 1.2 million workers, they have been out of the AFL-CIO now for a couple of years. So we're talking about approximately, I would say, ballpark, maybe about 5 to 6 million members who are not paying dues into the AFL-CIO now.
Oh, you mean so they
maybe
all...
they'll stop? I don't know. I don't know. That's part of the discussion. And when the convention starts Monday morning, that's one of the things that's going to be brought up. Is Sweeney, who is the president of the AFL-CIO, is he going to kick these unions out? Is he going to allow them to keep paying their per capita and still be involved? That's going to be the discussion, and that's what's worrying the AFL-CIO right now.
So it's really a taxation with representation issue. You know, are you saying that they've already been taking their funds and putting them like in an escrow account, so they haven't actually been paying in for the last year or so?
No, I'm not saying that because that hasn't come out yet in the news. But I would suspect that if Sweeney told the unions that I mentioned before that they couldn't be involved in the FFL because they are challenging the FFL CIO and they want to move into another direction. If Sweeney challenges that, I'm pretty sure that they will stop their per capita amount of money that goes to the FFL CIO. They will stop it. And in fact, one of the things that has happened maybe approximately a month ago is that the AFL CIO laid off about two-thirds or maybe a third of its staff. They've gotten rid of a third of their staff in Washington, D.C., the AFL CIO has.
Yeah.
So this discussion that's going to take place on Monday, that's going to start at the convention on Monday, will be, I think, in my opinion, will be the beginning of a new AFL CIO or the end of it as we know it.
Sure. Hey, we have a member of SEIU here in the studio, 535, right?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, this is
yes, I can.
DJ Rubble.
DJ Rubble, yeah, I'm an SEIU worker. I have a question for you.
Okay.
SEIU is a growing union, and they one of the things about SEIU is that a lot of their workers, not all their workers, are lower paid workers than the traditional trade worker union. Like there'll be entry level health care workers, home health care aid workers,
Hello?
Other ones aren't coming to my head right now, but in other words, SEIU is not necessarily having the highest paid workers, and also being healthcare workers, they're in horrible fights here in California and all over country with state governments that are slashing healthcare services. So talk about how it is that a union that's representing a lot of lower income workers and very diverse demographics of workers might not be served by the AFL-CIO umbrella as well as some other traditional union workers are, because I heard a union bureaucrat claiming that the union was just grandstanding, but I think, you know, the union is actually a little more progressive than what the AFL-CIO is offering, and their strategy of just lobbying and putting all their money into Democrats isn't serving us in California because the Democrats aren't really upholding our budgets either. So talk about the context of the dispute from SEIU's point of view.
Well, SEIU's point of view, I think Andy Stern is really disappointed in John Sweeney, who came from SEIU. He was the president of SEIU when he became president became president of the AFL-CIO. And he relinquished his job as president of SEIU to take the job as president of AFL-CIO. So with that, the SEIU has been under the guidance of Andy Stern as the president of SEIU since then. And he has guided the SEIU in organizing and growing. SEIU has grown, and it's a very, very progressive leadership that SEIU has because he has been challenging John Sweeney, who's the president of the AFL-CIO, in his remarks when he first took office, which was to organize more of the unorganized workers into unions and get them participating in the AFL-CIO, which has not happened. And in fact, since John Sweeney has been president of the AFL-CIO, and Andy Stern also states this, that there's been a decline of organized labor. So that has been a thorn in John Sweeney's side, and Andy Stern has been pressing that issue with him. Yes, that's one of the things that's going on, and that's going to be a discussion. That's going to be one of the major discussions of this convention, which will start on the 25th and it'll go to the 28th of this month here in Chicago.
Hey, well,
yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Carl, we don't envy you up there in 105 degree heat and whatnot. So
it's very hot.
Beautiful, foggy out here. Hey, so
no, it's nice.
So are you?
It's going to get hotter. It's going to get hot. Hey, for all those people who are workers out there, I'd like to say one thing. It is going to get hot. I'd like to see as many people who want to be involved in this discussion that's going to take place at the AFL-CIO in Chicago at the convention to come out to the streets, if this gets to Chicago, come out into the streets and bring the discussion, because organized labor and labor here in this country will be affected by what happens this week.
And
they will be affected.
Potentially to the better. I mean, we've got to goose these people into doing something, and they're either going to do it or they're not. So, yeah, it's survival time. Hey, Carl, are there websites or phone numbers for people to keep updated on this?
I would say the best place to go to, because KPFA for radio, KPFA, has sent a news reporter out. I can't remember his name. And they've also sent their labor reporter, David Bacon, and plus the Labor Collective, which I'm a part of, has also been involved in reporting back to KPFA. So I would say keep your radios tuned to KPFA for news. And if you know of Indy Media is... they were at the demonstration this afternoon. They were at the workshop this morning. So Indy Media, I think it's indymedia.org.
Yeah, we're part of them. But we're part of them. But so I would. Were you looking at the Chicago Indy Media site?
Yes, the Chicago Indy Media.
Okay,
site,
good.
Not the one in San Francisco.
Yeah,
Chicago. They're putting video up, and they're also putting up radio. And they're also putting up text. So, because Indy Media gave a little stand-up talk at the workshop we had this morning with the 60 people, and they said they were videoing this for Indy Media Chicago, and that they were going to put text up and video and audio. So,
yeah, that's great. It's certainly our listeners know how to find us. So,
oh, and another thing you can go to, Labor Beat, I think it's laborbeat.org. That's a Chicago, Larry Duncan is his name. He's the producer of that television show, but he also has a website, laborbeat.org, and Express Radio. That's out of Chicago, and they might have a website also. I'm not sure. I'd have to check on that. Because I'm not sure.
Hey, well, appreciate your time, Carl. We'll feel free to give a holler back here if you want to do some updates. We could do something every day if you feel like it.
Okay, and
thanks.
I can do that.
Yeah, thanks again. Let's see. I'll give you a holler if you want to stay online. I'll take your mic down, and then I'll talk to you off air.
Okay.
All right. And in the meantime, here DJ Rubble's got some final summation news.
Okay, announcement while we.